Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your goodness towards us, that you've given us a book that we can take, a book that we can read, a book that we can study, a book that we can use to understand you in a greater way. Help us and guide us this morning as we seek to understand the importance of this book in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, my name is James, and welcome to How to Study the Bible for Yourself. Now, this is an exciting new program, and my guess is that you are watching this program for two reasons. Number one is that you have a deep down hunger to desire to understand the Bible in a deeper way. You don't want to just listen to other sermons. You don't want to hear Bible teachers. You've heard lots of that. But you want to actually get into the nuts and bolts and the mechanics of Bible study. The second thing that I would guess is that you have not found very much material to help you in your journey towards Bible study. How do I know these two things? Well, the reality is because that's exactly what I experienced in my life. You see, when I went through school, actually I was born into a missionary's family and raised in a nice Christian home and went through Christian education all the way up through seminary. Yet strangely enough, I did not receive not a single class on how to study the Bible for myself. Now I will be quick to add that there was lots of good material, wonderful teachers, excellent classes, but nothing specifically on the topic of Bible study. I've been looking for years, decades, for this material, and finally I've come to the conclusion that the only way that people are going to learn how to study the Bible for themselves in an in-depth, systematic way is that somebody needs to come up with that program, and this program is going to try to meet that need. How to study the Bible for yourself. Now, today, what I want to do is I want to share some statistics with you and to kind of paint the overall need that we have in Christianity. The Bible is the most popular book in the world. Now, there's no question about that. Every year, about 25 million Bibles are sold in the United States alone, with Bible publishers pulling more than $500 million annually. 9 out of 10 American homes have a Bible, and among those homes, the average home here in the United States has 3 Bibles. Well, that's amazing. The Gideon Society has passed out more than 1.9 billion Bibles and New Testaments. Now, that's pretty incredible. And this year alone, our Bible societies will distribute more than 400 million Bibles. Those are staggering statistics. So you would think that in a society that is awash with the Word of God, that there would be some incredible amounts of biblical knowledge and understanding about the topics in the Bible. But the reality is quite different than that. Let me introduce you to a gentleman by the name of George Barna. Now, George Barna is a statistician. He's a one who does research into societal views, especially as it relates to the church. Several years ago, he did a survey, and he asked people questions about the Bible. This is what he concluded. Fewer than half of all adults in America can name the 4 Gospels. He also said that many professing Christians cannot identify more than 2 or 3 of the 12 disciples. 60% of Americans can't name even 5 of the 10 Commandments. Now, let me pause right there. If you don't know the 10 Commandments, how in the world are you supposed to keep them? Continuing on, George Barna says that 82% of Americans believe that God helps those who help themselves, and they believe that that's found somewhere in the Bible. The problem is they don't know where. The problem is I don't know where either, because it doesn't occur in the Bible. That comes from Benjamin Franklin in the Poor Richard's Almanac. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Now, you might laugh, but that's a pretty sad statement. A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50%
thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. As George Barna concludes at the end of his survey, he says, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. So while, ironically, while we are publishing more Bibles than ever before, it seems that we're absorbing less and less and less of the Word of God. Now you understand why it is important to teach people how to study the Bible for themselves. Let me share with you an important quote from an interesting book on education. Let me read this. Every human being created in the image of God is endowed with a power akin to that of the Creator. In other words, we are made in the image of God. We have the power of intellect, the power of knowledge, the power of to be able to think clearly. That separates us from what an animal is. But the author goes on. This is what she says. It is the work of true education to develop this power, to train the youth to be thinkers and not mere reflectors of other men's thought. Instead of confining their study to that which men have said or written, let students be directed to the sources of truth, to the vast field open for research in nature and revelation. Now, this is very interesting. We need to be teaching people to think for themselves and not just to be parroting other people's thoughts. So if Americans aren't really reading the Bible, what is the breakdown in numbers? Let's look at this. This comes from Lifeway, which is a research organization based in Nashville, Tennessee. A couple of years ago, they did a research, and they called over 1,000 different people and interviewed them, and this is their conclusion. This is what they say. Americans have a positive view of the Bible, and many say that the Christian scriptures are filled with moral lessons for today. Well, that's good. Now, look at those numbers here. At the very top, 10% have read none of the Bible. None means zero. Okay? So, in spite of the fact that we are publishing millions upon millions of Bibles, they are everywhere you could possibly imagine, 10% of our society has never read it. On top of that, 13% say that they've only read a few sentences. But then you come down to the largest group, the 30%, and they say that they've read several passages or stories. Now, you add those together, 10 and 13 and 30, that comes up to 53%. Okay? Now watch this. However, more than half of Americans, or 53%, have read little or none of the Bible. Less than a quarter of those who have ever read a Bible have a systematic plan for reading the Christian scriptures each day. And a third of Americans never pick it up on their own. Now, do you think we have a problem? I think we have a pretty big problem going on right now. And I would actually say this talks about reading the Bible. This isn't talking about studying. And let me be quick to add that this program is going to teach you not just to read. My guess is you know how to read just fine. This is a process. This is a program that's going to teach you a systematic nuts and bolts approach to studying the Bible for yourself. Let's continue on. Bible use is more likely among baby boomers, city dwellers, and southerners. Let's look at the statistics here. City dwellers, or 53%, and small town or rural areas, which is 49%, and residents report a higher use of the Bible than do adults who live or reside in the suburbs. That's 42%. So in other words, those who are in the city, which is surprising, you know, those who are in the cities, the big metropolitan areas are actually the highest number of Bible readers. And those who are living in the middle class, suburbs, and so on, seem to be the least likely to read the Bible. Let's continue on. Above average use can also be found among the residents in the South. This is 55%. No question here. Pretty obvious. Particularly compared to other regions. The Northeast is the lowest at 42%. The West comes next at 44%. The Midwest is 49%. And then let's look at the breakdown in the different age categories. Millennials is 47%. Now, millennials are the youngest section of adults. Remember, they have another generation that's younger than millennials, but they haven't reached adulthood. And so right now, the youngest adults are the millennials. Then comes Gen X, which I happen to be a Gen Xer. Okay? And then elders are slightly less likely to use the Bible than baby boomers. The baby boomers, or my father's generation, seem to be the highest in Bible use. Now, George Barna went on with his research, and this is what he discovered. What he did was he attempted to put categories and to understand in broad categories. And so he came up with four different categories. The Bible engaged category are those who view the Bible as the actual or the inspired word of God with no errors, or as the inspired word of God with maybe a few errors. They read and use and listen to the Bible at least four or more times a week. Now, this is on their own. This doesn't include church service, okay? This is where they pick up the Bible on their own and they read it and study it. Okay, the Bible-friendly is the second category. The Bible-friendlies view the Bible as the actual or inspired word of God with no errors. They read or use or listen to the Bible fewer than four times per week. That's 38%. The Bible-neutrals is the third category. They view the Bible as the inspired word of God, but has some factual or historical errors, or not inspired but tells how the writers understood the ways and principles of God. This is 23%. Now, these people read or use or listen to the Bible one time a month or less. Okay, and then finally, the Bible skeptic. This is the fourth category. They view the Bible as just another book of teaching, of teachings written by men. This is 19%. Now, George Barna became fascinated by that last category called skeptic, and so he began just within the last couple of years to actually interview these people and ask them further questions to see whether they are actually biblically hostile. In other words, they are hostile towards the Bible, not just aloof, but actually dislike the Bible. And so a subset of biblical skeptics view the Bible as a book of teachings written by men and intended, notice the red there, intended to manipulate and control other people. So about 75% of all skeptics are hostile to the Bible. But keep that in mind. That's an important statistic. Now let's look at Bible engagement. One of the things that George Barna did was he linked up together with the American Bible Society in looking at trends in American society. And this is what he discovered in what I'm presenting today. Levels of Bible engagement appear to be stabilizing after a brief dip in the engage segment since 2013 and a steady increase in skeptics in recent years. So you can see that line there. It has a big dip at the beginning and then a dip down, and then it hovers around the high 30s, okay? And then the skeptics rises all the way up to 2016, pretty much all the way until the end, and then it just drops back a little bit. Now, let's continue on. Levels of the neutral segment have remained somewhat steady since 2011. Well, actually, it drops slightly. It kind of goes up and down and up and down and up and down, but it drops just negligibly. So the neutrals have remained somewhat steady. And then there is the last segment is the Bible Engaged. And there it has dropped down and down, but then appears to have a recovery. Okay? So these are trends that is going on within our society. Now, here is something else that George Barna discovered, that women are more engaged with the Bible. In other words, in general, women are more actively engaged with reading the Bible than men. And it's about 60-40. 60% of women are actively engaged with the Bible versus 40% of men. Now, when you go to Bible-friendly, the second category, you have, it's more like 53% of women are friendly, and 47% of men. But then you go to Bible neutral, and notice it mirrors almost exactly the opposite of Bible friendly. Now it's exactly opposite. Men are more neutral, and women are a little less neutral. And then finally, the Bible skeptic shows men coming out strongly in their skepticism against the Bible. 59% of men are skeptical versus 41% of women. So women are a lot more likely to be engaged with the Bible. Now, here is an important slide, and let me explain this very carefully. As the age increases in our society, so does Bible engagement. The older you get, the more likely you are to be engaged with the Bible. That is, the average age increases with each Bible engagement section. From skeptic to engaged. The average age among skeptics is 43, which increases to 45 for the neutrals, and 47 for the friendly, and 53 for the Bible engaged. So you see, between the skeptic and the engaged is about 10%. Well, this is an important thing because we see this trend going on in our society. Skepticism is on the rise. The Bible remains the top choice among American adults asked to identify sacred literature. And the number of people who choose the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, and the Book of Mormon has remained relatively consistent through the years. However, the percentage of Americans who opt for none of these has doubled in 6 years, from 7% in 2011 to 14% in 2016. Let's look at something else here that shows skepticism on the rise. Similarly, there is a rising skepticism about the Bible as a sufficient guide for living a meaningful life. The percentage of people who strongly agree with the statement has contracted in 6 years from 53% in 2011 to 45% in 2016. Now, you say, well, what statement is that? Let's read the statement here before we continue on. It says, do you agree or disagree with the following statement? The Bible contains everything a person needs to follow a life and live a meaningful life. So it has gone down. It has gone down drastically. In fact, in 2011, it was 53%, and who strongly agree. In 2016, it is 45%. And notice the change in strongly disagree. It jumps in 2011 from, is it 12%, all the way up to 18% in 2016. So you see, biblical skepticism about the Bible has slowly been creeping upward. Let's look at something else here. Here's the statement. Do you agree or disagree with the following statement? The Bible is totally accurate in all of the principles it teaches. Now, trust in the Bible's reliability is also dropping. Barna first asked American adults in 1991 if they agreed or disagreed to this statement. Now, 25 years ago, 46% strongly agreed. Now, 46%, well, that's a little less than half of our society agreed that the Bible was totally the Bible was totally accurate in all the principles that it taught. But today, only about one-third of Americans say that it's totally accurate in what it teaches. And the percentages of those who strongly disagree has nearly doubled in 6 years. Look at that. Strongly disagree is in 2011 is, again, 12%. And then by 2016, notice it's already jumped up to 23%. Now, as we saw earlier, what is happening is that the older generation tends to rely on the Bible, tends to read the Bible, tends to trust in the Bible, but as those older generations are passing off the scene and a younger generation is moving onto the scene, it's changing the whole dynamics of our society. Let's look at something else. There's been a remarkable consistency through the past half decade when it comes to how Americans define the Bible. The changes from 2011 to 2016 are for the most part within the margin of error. But watch this. However, Barna researchers expect to see a significant shift in the coming half decade as the proportion of elders in the general population shrinks and the proportion of millennials grows. So that's the point, is that our society is changing. The younger generation doesn't hold to faith the same way that older generations do, and they don't hold to the Bible in the same way as well. Now, here was a poll that was done by Gallup, probably one of the most recognized names in research is George Gallup. Look at this. Fewer than one in four Americans, this is 24%, now believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God and is to be taken literally word for word. Similar to 26% who view it as a book of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. This is the first time, in fact, last year was the first time in Gallup's four-decade trend that the biblical literalism has not surpassed biblical skepticism. In other words, biblical skepticism has passed it up on its way up. Meanwhile, about half of Americans fall into the middle, saying that the Bible is the inspired word of God, but that not all of it should be taken literally. Now, here are the statistics. You see, back in 1976 and 2017, there's 41 years, and you notice that in every category there, they've all dropped down. So that now people are reluctant to say that the Bible is the actual Word of God and must be taken literally as it reads, word for word. There's some good news, at least what I consider good news. Two-thirds of Americans express Bible curiosity. Now, George Barna noticed that two-thirds of Americans, this is 66%, express at least some curiosity to know more about what the Bible says, including one in three, which is 29%, who express a strong desire to know the Bible more. A similar number of adults, 63%, are interested in knowing more about who Jesus Christ is, including 31%, who agree strongly. So curiosity is most common among weekly church attenders, adults who have never been to college, and adults with minor children at home. So there's still a strong interest within our society. Now, look at this slide. 6 in 10 Americans believe that the Bible has transformed their life. Now, this is very interesting. As skepticism is on the rise, people still believe that they've been impacted by the Bible. Notice this. Overall, almost 6 in 10 U.S. adults, this is 58%, believe that the message of the Bible has transformed their life, including 3 in 10, or 28%, who agree strongly with this statement. Roughly 2 in 5 adults, or 42%, say that the Bible has not transformed their life. Married adults and those with children under 18 are both more likely to indicate that the Bible has been life-changing. So there's still a strong sense that the Bible has made an impact in their life. Now, notice this slide here. Desire to read the Bible more. More than half of all adults wish that they read the Bible more often than they do. This is 58%. This is slightly down from 2016, in which it was 61%. Each segment expresses a desire for more Bible reading. In fact, 1 in 5 skeptics, which is 22%, and 1 in 5 non-Christians, or 21%, wish that they read or listened to the Bible more often than they do right now. Also, the desire is particularly high among the friendlies. But notice this. But despite most Americans' desire to read the Bible more, 2/3 of them, or 67%, say that their level of Bible reading is about the same as it was 1 year ago. Now that's interesting. They want to study the Bible, they want to read the Bible, but when it really comes down to it, are they doing it? No. Why? Oh, there could probably be a hundreds or so reasons why. But you know, the reality is that most people don't know how to read it. Most people come to the Bible and they just look at the Bible and they say, how do I understand this? That's what this program is about. Teaching people how they can come to the Bible, find powerful, meaningful things that will help them in their life. That's what we want to do. George Barna states that there's been an increase in non-engagement. Look, in 2011, there was a 25% non-engagement level. But notice that number has been edging upward, 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 until finally in 2017, which was last year, it was 32%. In fact, from 2016 to 2017, a whole 5% shift upwards. So half Americans are Bible users. That is, they engage with the Bible by reading, listening, or praying with the Bible on their own at least 3 to 4 times a year. Now you say 3 to 4 times, that's not very much. Well, that's right. But 3 to 4 times guarantees you that you at least get into the research as a Bible user. That's pretty amazing. This proportion has remained relatively consistent since 2011. But nearly 1/3 of adults say that they never read, listen, or pray with the Bible, 32%, a 5 percentage point increase over 2016. Now, let me explain this one a little bit, because this is a fascinating slide as well. Half of Americans ponder how the Bible applies to life. A lot of people are wondering, how does the Bible apply to my life? Just over half of adults who used the Bible in the past week, or 53%, say that they give a lot of thought to how it might apply to their lives. Although the number of those who think deeply about the scripture in this way is statistically on par with 2017, it has slipped since 2011, which is 61%. Those with higher levels of Bible engagement are predictably more likely to say that they give a lot of thought to the Bible's application. So you notice there that there is one line there which is essentially the same all the way through, and that's those that don't give any thought to how the Bible applies to their life. But notice that there appears to be almost an inverse in between those who think about the Bible a lot and those who think about it just a little bit of how it applies to their life. And notice that those lines are coming together. And if those trends continue, those will switch places. Reasons for engaging in Bible study. You say, well, why do people actually read the Bible? What is it that motivates them? What drives them to study the Bible? More than 1/2, or 56% of those who report an increase in Bible readership attribute it to their understanding that the Bible reading is an important part of their faith journey. So people are wanting to study the Bible because they believe that faith, that it fuels their faith life, their faith journey. And that's exactly right, because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So the faith comes when a person engages in Bible study. But secondly, the next level of respondents said this: many people point to a difficult life experience that led them to search the Bible for direction or answers to their problem. This was 39%. So when people are going through hard times, they're looking for answers, and they believe that the Bible contains answers for their problems. And that's the reality, is there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. And I'm hoping that this program will be able to help people in that journey to find healing and wholeness. The third percentage was those who saw how it changed someone else for the better. In other words, they looked at maybe a family member or a friend, and they saw how their life was changed, and they became interested in studying the Bible for themselves. Okay? The next is a significant life change. Usually this happens when perhaps a couple has a child, and they all of a sudden it brings back memories of going to Sunday school or Sabbath school, and they desire to go back to church and to kind of recover those roots, those backgrounds. And so sometimes that will be enough to stimulate a person to want to study on their own. A significant life change. Now, notice that next one. Someone asked me to read it with them. Now, this is fascinating. 20% of those who said that they have actively become engaged in studying the Bible, those people, 20% said somebody actually wanted to study the Bible with me. And because somebody asked, they began studying the Bible together. And you know, that says something. That says, you know, we need to be asking people, how would you like to get together and study the Bible together? Don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with somebody else. And then finally, they downloaded it onto a smartphone. This is 17%. Or they media conversations around religion or spirituality. This is like 3ABN or Hope Channel or BLBN or any of these programs that put spiritual stuff out there. Now, spiritual programs are good. Notice that. It's 11%. So there is a twice as much likelihood that someone will study the Bible if you ask them to study with you. Now, that's very important to keep in mind. Now, use of technology. Use of technology has really changed our society. For Bible users, the appeal of a print version of the Bible remains high at almost 9 out of 10 users of the Bible prefer print. Okay, that's right up there at 89%. Little has changed in the preference for a physical copy of the scriptures in the last 8 years since tracking began, although use of digital formats is also on par with 2017. In general, use has steadily climbed since 2011. More than half the users now search for Bible content on the internet, 57%, or a smartphone, 55%, and another 42% use a Bible app on their phones. More than one-third of listen to a teaching via a podcast or an audio version of the Bible. That's 36%. So you see, technology is starting to really play a part in how people understand the Bible. And one of the things that we're going to be doing in this program is we're going to be showing people how to use technology to help you and to use it as a tool to understand the Bible. It's going to be a fascinating journey together. George Barna concludes with this: our researchers continue to find bright spots that demonstrate the Bible's cultural staying power and persistent hold on people's hearts. Each of these realities, among others, is a window of opportunity open to leaders. But then he says this ominous statement: but these windows are not likely to remain open forever. So we must take full advantage to to advocate today for the Bible in our skeptical, self-centered, highly connected world. Now is the time to teach people how to not just read, but to also to study and to understand for themselves what the Bible is saying to them. So let me just take just a few brief moments to outline what we are going to accomplish in this program. Now, this program is not just a fly-by-night type thing. This program has many different segments, and each of these segments helps to build, is a building block in this construction of how to study the Bible for yourself. And so each thing is important. Do not just skip over segments. The Bible study begins with good preparation. It's just like setting a table, okay? If you have to set yourself up for success. And it's one of the most overlooked types of Bible study, but preparation is absolutely key. If you don't do adequate preparation, unfortunately, your Bible study could get derailed. We also talk about biblical hermeneutics. Now, hermeneutics for many people is a big word and they don't know what it means, but hermeneutics is simply how do we interpret the Bible. Everyone interprets things. When I talk to you, you are going through the process of hermeneutical interpretation. In other words, you're interpreting my words and what I mean by what I say. So hermeneutics is the process by which we interpret the Bible writer. And it's the rules by which we use, the framework, the guidelines that we use to interpret. Now, there are all sorts of tools that we use for Bible study. In the next program, I'm going to show you some paper tools, some books. I'm going to show you some electronic tools. Kind of give you an overview of the different types of tools. But we'll go into much more depth in a future presentation. There is something called the inductive Bible study method. This is the heart of Bible study. It's the process of asking questions. The Bible contains the answers, but it doesn't have the questions. We have to come up with the questions and be able to come up with the right questions so when you put the question and the answer together, all of a sudden the light goes on. That's the inductive Bible study process or method. Word studies. Word studies are fascinating. They're kind of a subsection of Bible study, but they're a very important part of Bible study, as is topical Bible studies as well, where you pick a topic and you study it completely out. Cross-referencing. Cross-referencing is very important because there are other passages and other parts of the scriptures that can help us to understand in a much larger way the meaning of a particular passage. And then parallel passages. Parallel passages are passages that may be the same story or a parable or a story or a narrative that is exactly the same, but it's written by a different author. And when we study those in parallel, we can learn many things by expanding on all the different points from given by those two authors. Literary structures. Okay, there are literary structures within English, our language, but also there are literary structures within the biblical languages as well. And when we pick up on these and when we study them, we are able to see a lot bigger and understand a lot more than if we just read it on a surface level. Right brain Bible study. Now this is, I know people say that the left brain and the right brain type understanding of how people think it has been disproven. Well, that's true. But what I'm talking about right brain Bible study, I'm talking about using your creative side, using the ability to draw pictures and using the visual, spatial reference points to be able to understand certain things that you wouldn't be able to see just by reading text. And then finally, we're going to talk about application. How do you bring this all into your personal life? How do you apply it? So this is essentially where we are going with this. You're interested, I know you are, because you're watching this program and you haven't just shut me off, but you're wanting to understand in a deeper way, and praise God for that. I want to finish with this quote. The life of God, which gives life to the world, is in His Word. Did you catch that? Where's the life? It's in His Word. It was by His Word that Jesus healed disease and cast out demons. By His Word, He stilled the sea and raised the dead. And the people bore witness that His Word was with power. He spoke the Word of God as He had spoken it to all the Old Testament writers. The whole Bible is a manifestation of Christ. Now here's the key. It is our only source of power. I want to hook you up to the power source. I don't want to hook you up to another preacher or another pastor or a Bible worker or whatever else. I want to hook you up straight to the source. It's going to take effort. It's going to take work. But if you stick with it, you're going to find some amazing results. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to share. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through this experience, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Breathe into your church, just as you breathed your Spirit into Adam and he came alive. Breathe your Spirit into your church and help your church to experience the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Thank you for hearing this prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name.